again, and I look forward to hearing her take on step one. Vivian.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vivian. I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. By God's grace, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous strong sponsorship and the black print on the white page in that blue book is the reason I'm still here. And my sobriety date is January 3rd, 1994. And thank you, God. Thank you for the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because of you and people like you and rooms like this, I have a life today, and I'm so grateful, and I can never, ever thank you enough. And I got the call from Chrissy to come up here, and I said, you know, I've been riding motorcycles out in Montana for the last week. And she says, what are you doing? I said, well, what do you want to know for? Because I've been taught to ask those questions. And so I said, you know, I've been taught a long time ago, you don't say no to any AA requests. So this is what you get tonight, and we're going to talk about step one, and I have some notes, and I'm going to be in that book, because that's the only thing I know that saved a wretch like me coming from where I came from. You know, I just love some of the things I've heard, and thank God for people like Bob. You guys, make sure you support Bob. People like Bob who have been recording speaker tapes is one of the main reasons I'm here today. I remember I came in 91. I'm going to tell you more what not to do to get sober, because that's how my life was when I got here. I mean, I was just arrogant, defiant, delusional, selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, all the things they tell us in the big book. But here's the problem. I didn't think so. So there's the problem. But people like Bob who come and record people who speak and carry a powerful message of hope and recovery is the reason I'm standing here today. And I remember way back when, and it was in, I think, in 92, 3, an old grizzly little guy who was an ex-boxer from Chicago, probably more than I ever wanted to know about what kind of life he might have had, but he was all in, you know, and I heard a long time ago, come all the way in, sit all the way down, and be here and be with us. And it's so much more fun than anything I was doing out there. And old Tom Dooley came up to me one day, and he literally threw this little cassette tape at me. I want you to listen to this, kid. And it was Clancy Eyed, and the name on that tape was Alcoholism, a Disease of Perception. And if you have not heard it, I hope you will get it and listen, because the lights went off when I listened to that, and I must have played it till the tape ran out. Because, and I'm still talking about it. That's how powerful it was. So those things I can take and put in my car and listen. That's what I did, because I had not heard any of that information until I heard what Clancy had to say about that. You guys better time me. I have no idea how long, whatever, anyway. But, I came to, and I came to believe. And here's how it happened. I was struggling with alcoholism, and I didn't even know what that meant. I had never heard of Alcoholics Anonymous. No one in my family who certainly qualified to be here had ever made it here. And by God's grace, and a good friend, my drinking buddy, who found AA because people like you carried a message of hope and recovery to her. And we were drinking one night, and for some reason, I can't explain, I went home and she didn't. And the next day I heard that she had a head-on collision, went through the windshield, and barely survived. And so I lived in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And back then, everybody knew everybody. Small 12-by-5-mile long island, and everybody knew everybody. I went up there to see her in the hospital, and she just, practically her whole face had been cut, you know. It was just horrible. She was there for quite some time, but here's the miracle of recovery. two women from Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step chart came to the hospital and carried a message of hope and recovery, and she went away to a rehab and came back a changed person. And she needed a place to work, and I had a hair salon, so she came to work in my hair salon. Nobody else would hire her because she had such a bad reputation. Of course, she drank with me, and we tore it up like we all do, tore it down, basically. And to make a long story short, she started working in my hair salon. And I used to come in, you know, my hours, thank God I was self-employed because I couldn't be an employee for anybody else. I would have fired myself because, you know, show up late and leave early. And that's how drinking, you know, does for us. It demands that we drink more, not less. And so anyway, I would show up in the morning, and I gave her the keys to unlock the door. So I'm getting there. I started at 9, and then my drinking escalated as I went on. And then I'm getting there at 10, and now I'm coming in at 11. And Vicky's sitting at the door, bright-eyed, bushy-tail, with these beautiful blue eyes. And she's recovered beyond my understanding. And she's just glowing, and she's happy. And she says to me only once, "Vivian, if you want to go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'd love to take you." It's the only time she ever said that. And I said, "Honey, I am so grateful that you're in that program. God knows you needed it." See, we can't see what we can't see. I mean, you can't, when you know, you can't see the picture when you're in the frame. And so I watched what she did. And I just became a little conscientious observer with her because she began to just have this glow about her, and she was just happy. Now, I'm continuing to drink and do the things I do. And I come to work. I do a couple of hours. Hours are getting shorter and shorter. and I go do what I do, and then I go home, and I have more because I'm not getting, you know, at some point I was trying to think the other day, when did I actually start ordering doubles martinis? You know, most people, normal people may have one or two. I'm ordering doubles and I'm doing four or five and six. And I don't know why I'm drinking that much, but I just demand, my body demands that I drink that much. My mind is telling me I have to drink that much. So anyway, and I go home. And I, one more time, I say to myself, I'm not going to drink tomorrow. I'm going to make this a point. Not going to drink tomorrow. Now, I've heard people say, if I'm enjoying my drinking, I'm certainly not controlling it. And if I'm controlling it, I'm not enjoying it. And so this was one of those times where I just said, to drink like I like to drink, I'm going to have to do it at home. And so now the fancy glasses are gone. There's no more olives. There's nothing fancy about any part of this. I'm filling up tumblers full of vodka, 100 proof. And the insanity is I can't wait to do the next one before I get this one down. Now, I don't know if you drank like I drank, but that's the obsession of the mind. And so I continue to do that, and every single day for the last 6 months of my drinking, I am not drinking tomorrow. That's it. I'm not going to drink, and I cannot stop. I can't control walking into that house, going straight into the freezer. It's like I'm watching a movie, only I'm in it, and I'm watching myself go to that freezer, pour that vodka, and then pass out. And that is like a daily event every single night. And I had already lost so much prior to this. You know, what does a disease do to us and for us? It takes everything. It's that rapacious creditor we read about in the big book, in the 12 and 12. And it took for me so much, you know, and we pay the ultimate price to hold a seat in these rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it took me from all my loved ones. It took my family. It took my husband. It took the two most beautiful children that I wanted more than life itself. And I could not be there for those kids because alcohol drove me to where it took me, and I just could not stop. That's the obsession of the mind, the physical allergy. And the only thing they tell us here in these rooms is the only thing that's going to help is a spiritual awakening. In other words, I suffer from a physical allergy, mental obsession, and when I start pardon me, when I start drinking, I can't stop. And you tell me in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, the only thing that's going to do that is a spiritual transformation. I'm going, how does that work? How does that have anything to do with anything? And so I came in 91, and I walked into the rooms, and the night before, interestingly enough, as I look back on it, I've had so many spiritual experiences, I tell you, I could fill a book, but I can't see what I can't see until I'm on the other side of it. So I love what people say. I live life forward and learn about it in hindsight. And so what happened was, the last night before I came to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, one more time I had filled those tumblers full of vodka. Went into bed, passed out as usual, woke up at 2 or 3 in the morning. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I'm wide awake and absolutely insane. And I can't stand myself, and I don't want to live like this. And I can't, for years, I haven't seen my kids because I couldn't stand what they, then when they would look at me, the little mortification in their faces and how they looked at me. And why, Mom, where are you? Why are you not here? And I could not look in their little faces. It broke me. It broke my heart. So I quit going. I walked out of a marriage that was made in heaven, would have been everything anybody would have hoped or dreamed to have. You know, it's just, it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. And this one night, I had done the same thing I had done for months and months and months. I drank, came home, passed out. Only this night was so different. I woke up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I am just seeing like a video of my life flash before me. And I don't know how long it took. It was like a flash, literally. But everything I had hoped and dreamed of, all my ambitions, all my goals, the love of my life, the children I had more and loved more than anything that I can describe to you, were gone. And it was all because of, and I knew at that moment there was a knowing that it was because of alcohol, and I couldn't stop it. And something happened that night, and there are no words to explain what really transpired, except the next morning I got up, and when I went into work, Vicki was sitting there, and I said, I would like to go to a meeting with you. Now, there's a whole shift in everything. I know I didn't make that happen. I know that was God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. I think when you're broken at such depth that God can finally break into that little chink in the armor to make a difference in your life if you'll just grab hold and hang on. And so I went to my first meeting and walked in the door. And I saw people that I used to drink with, and they just welcomed me with open arms. And they just gave me the biggest hugs. And they said, come on in, Vivian, and sit all the way down with us. Come sit with me. Would you like a cup of coffee? How are you doing? So glad you're here. It was the welcoming and the love that you provided to me is what got me here and what keeps me here today. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous. Love it. I'm in love with it more than I ever have been in my life. Every single day is a new day that I'm just amazed at what this program can do for us. I love some of the things I want to talk about. The tragedy of our life is how deep must be our suffering before we learn the simple truth by which we can live, and that's by Father Ed Dowling. So I walked into the rooms, and you guys welcomed me, and my friend Miles came up and gave me a big old bear hug. And he said, Vivian, all you have to do is just try not to drink today. Now, I had tried to drink, not drink for years and couldn't pull that off. But something changed. When I stepped across the threshold of Alcoholics Anonymous, the obsession to drink was removed, and I didn't even recognize it for a couple of weeks later. I was amazed because every single day I had to drink, and here I'm now, I'm not drinking. So there's the first miracle. I know it doesn't happen like that for everybody, but I think God said, we got to save this one because she's absolutely going to kill herself. And I wanted to kill myself. I literally, that night before I had that sort of spiritual little experience, I wished for the end. I asked God, dear God, please take me. I don't want to live like this, not one more day. I would just as soon take a bullet. And I had already attempted suicide a couple times before. So there's my best plan. But, you know, I just, something about coming into these rooms. I walked in here and I sat down and I came back the next day and it was just an attraction I can't describe or never will understand. It's just, it's all in here. It's the love and I think it's all God. And I walked into the rooms and you welcomed me and my friend Miles said, Vivian, all you need to do is get a sobriety date, get a home group, get a big book, and get a sponsor, and you'll be just fine. And don't drink and come to meetings. And I'm going, now, if that's all I have to do, I didn't know. But how do you not drink when all you've ever done is drink every day till you just about die? So I managed to come back the next day because there was such an attraction, I couldn't stop. I didn't know what you had, but I wanted what you had. So I came back the next day and the next day and the next day, and about 3 months down the road, I'm feeling so good, and I'm going, wow, this is amazing, and I'm not even thinking about a drink. I'm just, the thought has been removed. And then my girlfriend, who was a chronic relapser, and, oh, by the way, I didn't get a sponsor. And I don't recommend this. I didn't get a sponsor. I went to the back of the room, and they said, you need a big book. So I went to the back of the room, and I gathered up a big book and a 12 and 12 and AA Comes of Age and all the literature we had back there, and I put it in a box and took it home. I didn't pay for any of it, but nobody told me I needed it. But anyway, so I did make amends for that. But I'm coming to meetings every day. So here's the story about step one. Just coming to meetings ain't going to work. And it didn't for me either. I kept coming back. And I kept coming to meetings because there was an attraction here I couldn't explain or understand. But I knew I wanted something. And I wanted at least what I thought you had. And my friend Shelley, who's still out there today, she came up to me and she held that big book up one day and she said, Vivian, it's like a little advertisement, it doesn't say a darn thing in here about marijuana. Hallelujah. Out the door we went, and for the next 2 years, I came to a meeting every single day high. And my friend, I know it's an outside issue, but oddly enough, I didn't drink, but I think I was headed there, and I'll tell you why. Because in the beginning, I'm sitting at the front of the room listening to the speakers and so forth and so on, and after about a couple months, I'm sitting a little further back, and before you know it, I'm sitting in the back, what my sponsor used to call the remedial section. I'm back there, and I'm ready to walk on out that door. But God had another plan. That little old crusty guy that I told you about who was the boxer came up to me one day and he said, Vivian, if you're doing that stuff and we can smell it. By the way, back then you could smell it a mile away. You're not fooling anybody. And he said, if you're smoking that and you're picking up chips saying you're sober, you're lying. If you're lying, you'll never make it here. You have to be honest to have this program work for you. And that day, something happened again. I can't explain, nor it's just God. And I made a decision that day that I was going to put that substance out. That was not my drug of choice anyway. Alcohol had always been. I could always lay the little party favors aside, but I put that down, and That's when my life changed. I made a second. The first surrender was coming to the door and coming in and sitting down. The second surrender is where I turned my life and my will over the care of you and this program and God. And that's when my recovery started. That's when and God started working pretty fast for me that day. I was in the kitchen that morning after that day, and Dick Jones, he's in the big meeting in the sky now. That man came to a meeting every single day and talked incessantly about the fourth step, and I'm sitting over there with untreated alcoholism. I'm going, doesn't he know anything else to talk about? And I'm just like, la-di-da. And he is carrying such a message. And I'm in the kitchen getting a cup of coffee, and he walks up beside me, and he's getting a cup of coffee. And I go to turn to him to say, good morning, Dick. And I go, will you take me through the fourth step? And I went, oh, my God, who said that? I didn't even plan to have that come out of my mouth. And here it was. He says, well, let me tell you right now, young lady, those guys didn't fool around. After this meeting, you and I are going to walk up here to that little pew we got up here. And you and I are going to take step 1, 2, and 3, which we did in about 5 minutes. And we knelt down right there at that pew, and I turned my life. And we said the third step prayer. And he said, I'm going to take you through these steps, young lady, but I'm not interested in your drama, your trauma, or your tale of woe. What I am interested in is trying to save your life. I don't know how much of a brain you got left, but what we're going to do is you're going to call me every day and ask me, what can I do next? And that was all the instructions I had. And you know what? That was enough. And that was all I was capable of. And I called him the next day, and he told me precisely what to do, because after that meeting with him, I was already on step 4 the very next day. He believed in going through it very quickly, as I do, and that's how I do it today. We don't know how much time we have left in here. I may not make it to next week or next month or next year. And if I don't do it today, I may not be around to see the next day. I've seen that happen so much with so many. So I believe in getting this work done. Dr. Bob and Bill didn't fool around. They did it in a day or a couple hours and got it done and did the deal. And I don't know what we're waiting for. So I'm not fooling around with this stuff. We're talking about saving lives, and mine could be one of them. So I called him the next day, and he said, Vivian, I want you to say that third step prayer every single time you work on this stuff. And you ask God to help reveal to you what needs to be on that list. And I'm just not believing this is really going to work. So I go home, and I say the third step prayer, and I have my iced tea, and I have my writing and my pencil and all this. And I say that prayer, and I'm asking God to reveal to me what needs to be on this list. La-di-da, and all of a sudden, these names started coming. I could not write fast enough. And I swear to you, within about 20, 30 minutes, I had over 100 names on that list of people I hadn't even thought about in 30, 40 years. And I called Dick, and I said, you're not going to believe what just happened. I couldn't even write fast enough. It was like it was just coming so fast. He said, it's okay, kid. I had 1,500 names on my list. I'm like, good Lord, I'm glad I'm not as sick as you are. And from that list, everything else just fell in place. And that was another miracle. And as I look back, there's been nothing but miracles in my life, one after another after another. When you walk into these rooms, get ready. You better put on your walking shoes and buckle up for safety, because you're in for the ride of your life. And that's what's happened for me, and I'll never forget it. I'll never regret it. And all I want to do is keep coming back and being a part of this amazing program. So, you know, talking about step one is the truth about the problem. And going into the inventory reveals that truth about the problems, all the problems I have in my life. And with good orderly direction from a sponsor, don't do this by yourself. I mean, not with this kind of brain. And so, you know, the more I stick to taking direction from my sponsors, and I don't care. I mean, I celebrate. By the way, I changed my sobriety date from January 3rd, 91 to 94, because I was told I had to get honest, because if you're not honest, you'll never make it here. And I laid down all the things that I wasn't supposed to be doing, and I took on, a decision that I was going to do what you asked me to do, because my ideas were done. I was simply just done. And so as I walked through those steps with Dick, I got all that writing done. I'd call him every morning. He'd tell me precisely what to do next. I was through with the step work in a week. So I don't know why anybody thinks you got to drag this stuff out, because we're, you know, our lives are hanging in the balance. And we've got to get busy and do this stuff. We can't sit around and call me next week, next month, and we'll get started on another step. Oh, my God, I would have just put a good bullet in my head if that had happened to me. But, you know, the freedom for me was just another word for nothing left to lose. So why not take a set of actions contrary to how you think, feel, and believe, and watch the miracle occur for you? Because it did for all of us. Or you, if you're sitting in here, you qualify. And I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. Step one for me is the powerhouse. If you don't get that step one completely surrendered, and if you don't have a sponsor who can help you do that, then get up with somebody else who can. Because I had to have a sponsor who could give me good, orderly directions, precisely as it is in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I really adhere to the Big Book as the answer to all my problems. And it has all our solutions in there, too, as a result of that. So the more I stick with this program, the better I am, and the more I surrender, the better I feel. And so when we get to step one, I'm powerless over alcohol. That was not a hard question for me to answer. But when I got into step four, I could see how unmanageable my life was. And he had me look at all the consequences prior to coming into the program. You know, all of the walked out on my marriage, walked out on my two kids. I couldn't come to their birthdays anymore. I wanted to. I'd go to the mall and want to get their little Christmas presents, and I'd hit the bar, and 2 days later, I'd missed the whole event. And it got so painful, I couldn't even go back anymore. So I abandoned those kids. I had to turn away from my family because I couldn't stand how they looked at me anymore. And I drank to overcome all of those things. And that worked for a long time till it stopped. And I'm so grateful I found a way out. I found my way into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've never looked back. And I'm so grateful for people like you who have taught me what to do, what the next indicated thing to do is. And so I continue to work these steps. And, you know, our whole deal, our whole purpose is to show others who suffer how we were given help. It's the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile, so that we get to walk a free person today. I'm not overcome with the horror and the terror and the bewilderment, frustration, the despair, all the things that plague me prior to surrendering to this program the way we do here. It's a life worth living. I just love it. And I wish I could remember everything I want to say. So I'm going to read it out of the book. AA's 12 steps are a group of principles, spiritual in their nature, which, if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink and enable the sufferer to become happily and usefully whole. That has happened to each and every one of us if we take a set of actions contrary to what I want to do, what I think I ought to do, and stop thinking. Basically, stop thinking. That's the number one thing. I like when it talks about alcoholism is no other kind of bankruptcy is like this one. The rapacious creditor bleeds us of all self-sufficiency. What does rapacious mean? Greedy, avarious, ravenous appetite. It's out to kill us, and yet I don't even think so, because I'm so consumed. I'm so completely out of my mind with alcohol and whatever else I'm up to. So it bleeds of all self-sufficiency and all will to resist its demands. Once the stark fact is accepted, our bankruptcy as going human concerns is complete. That is the bitter end. That is the bottom. That is the one thing that if we don't get some help, we will not make it. I see people come in and out of here all the time like it's a swinging door. Man, this is the emergency room of life. If we come in here and we just take a set of actions that we really don't want to believe in or don't understand and watch the miracle occur, that is just worth living for, worth doing for. Let's see, what else did I want to tell you? Under the lash of alcoholism, we are driven to AA. You know, and I just don't know about that. I think God just brings us in here. I don't think I was driven to do anything. I think it was an invitation to come live your life and have a beautiful way to live your life. And under the lash of alcoholism, we are driven to AA, and there we discover the fatal nature of our situation. Then and only then do we become as open-minded to conviction and as willing to listen as the dying can be. We stand ready to do anything which will lift the merciless obsession. And I'm telling you, that has happened for me over and over again, 1,000 times in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. No matter what has happened in my life, nothing has prompted me or even the thought has come that a drink would make it better. And then continue to keep doing what we're asked to do here. As we have seen, self-searching is the means by which we bring new vision, action, and grace to bear upon the dark and negative side of our natures. It is a step in the development of that kind of humility that makes it possible for us to receive God's help. Yet it is only a step. We will want to go further. And there is no one and done here. It's a continued process. I go, thank God for Zoom. And I don't care what you think about it. Some people, I don't like it. Well, I'm sorry for you. Because I go to at least 2 meetings a day and all over the country. I sponsor more people than I've ever sponsored in my life, all over the country. And guess what? We do the deal right on Zoom. I had the pleasure of taking a woman in Sweden through the steps, and we did Zoom for about 4 hours, and she is clean and sober and having a life beyond her wildest dreams day. This thing works without my understanding. It just works if we work it. And so I love Zoom. Now I still go to a lot of live meetings, too, but I fell in love with Zoom, and I will not ever not do it. Like I said, I do at least 2 meetings a day. I do more today than I've ever done because it's so much fun, and I enjoy it. And also, the sicker you are, the more I enjoy it. I love alcoholics. And Al-Anons, too, man. If you just push through that a little bit more, Lord, you would be well here with us. And I've just had a ball doing what we do here and just suiting up and showing here. I came with a problem I didn't even know I had, and I found a solution I didn't know I needed, and it was in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, a God of my understanding, strong sponsorship who kept me on the task and on course that showed me a way to live that I'd never want to lose. And each day is a new beginning, and I'm so grateful that I could come and share that with y'all today. Thanks for letting me share. I didn't say half of what I wanted to say.